everybody. This is the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, number 380. Here's why. Because I went, I haven't opened my pop yet, so I can open it and make the noise. That's why I laughed. I made myself laugh. Sorry.
It's the little things.
It is. Well, I'm a little punchy today. Tim wasn't able to be here today due to a family thing. So it's a long day on a Wednesday by yourself. So I'm a little punchy. I'm a little tired.
A punch drunk.
Kinda. Just a long day. Easily amused at this point.
It's going to be one of those.
It is. Yeah. It's not always. Once we hit 9 o'clock, we're in trouble. So.
Talk fast.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Spencer.
Pat.
Brandon.
Mike was too tired to come. I can't make that excuse. I have to be here. There's rules.
No, you could throw us all out.
No, because it's too much fun. There's too much to talk about.
I said you could.
I could, but that would be rude.
Or we could storm in here. You can't stop us all.
You know who the biggest problem would be?
Who? Dave?
Yeah. We could broadcast live from Area 51.
Ooh. That's what I was trying to get Dave. Like, he should get his paper to send him out there. There are true religious implications if they find aliens.
That would send my readership into a tizzy. So, let's do it.
We don't want that. On a tizzy.
Isn't Jesus an alien?
No. How do you know? Do you know him? Was he like your next door neighbor? He could have been.
I don't think that's canon.
They can retcon that.
That's a retcon.
They retcon everything.
I think all of it's kind of fanfic, so.
It's a whole Jesus fanfic.
So, last week was San Diego Comic-Con. Getting off that subject. But last week was San Diego Comic-Con. Lots of news, lots of stuff going on. Most of the news, like Marvel made the big splash with their movie stuff. I'll let you do it, Pat, because my reading ability right now is probably suspect. So because I was unable to gather all of the info, I asked Pat of former Pat's News to handle the news portion of this, or the news segment of this podcast. So, here's what happened at San Diego. Pat?
Stuff,
okay.
Movies.
Yeah. No, so there actually was quite a bit of comic news. Some Marvel stuff. I guess they're doing a Kylo Ren book to kind of show his early years, which I would have thought the movie would have handled since it's the last one, but maybe not.
A lot to pack in that movie.
That's true, too.
That's by Charles Soule.
Yeah.
I think that one's actually, like, worth reading. It sounds like it
is. Yeah.
See, and I like the Star Wars books where they don't try to... Thank you, Colin. Where they don't try to, like, cram continuity into it where, all of a sudden these people who we know weren't somewhere just, look, there they are in the corner, you know, in the canteen or something like that. Let's see. There's a new Doctor Doom book that's coming out in October. A Mary Jane series, because you demanded it, I guess.
I saw that. I'm like,
Unless she's getting bit by a spider, I don't know.
I mean, Lois Lane has a series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mary Jane's had series in the past, right?
I think there's
a book over there on the shelf in the kids section. That is one of those double collected editions of all Mary Jane issues.
Yeah, Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane, Kyle McKeever. Sean McKeever, sorry.
There's going to be a six-issue Spider-Verse series.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, tying into the movie stuff. Yeah, I did see that.
It looks like Psylocke is going to become the new Captain Britain.
Correct. Because they announced. Well, yeah, you missed the top part. There's six new X-Men books.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like a whole another wave.
And going like back to more classic titles,
Excalibur.
No Uncanny yet.
Well, yeah, there's no Uncanny, and the X-Men the cover that they previewed, it's Wolverine, and then everybody else is a summer or related to them.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I just noticed looking at the covers, it was every cover was them standing around.
Yeah.
And every one of them had one person with their hand up, and three of them had swords. And I'm like, I had no idea that swords played such an integral part of X-Men mythology.
Yeah. That X-Men book, I'm not super excited from that cover, because it's got, what's his dad from the Starjammers?
Yeah.
Vulcan.
Okay.
And,
Havoc.
But hey, he's okay. He's an acceptable, like...
Is he still axist?
No, he's been good for a while. Yeah.
He's been made up.
A little while ago, somebody brought up Axis, and I remember going, I had completely blocked that out of my mind.
They even fixed his face. His face was all messed up.
They just undid all that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I like the idea, like the Fallen Angels. I thought that was interesting with X-23 and Honey Badger and somebody else. So that was at least interesting. One thing, I didn't care for the logos.
Yeah.
I'm like, you had all these classic logos to use with these classic titles. Use them.
But then the guy who's like just specializes in logos has nothing to do.
True.
Like,
I thought that was Johnson. I thought that was Hickman's job. I thought that's the kind of stuff that he.
Well, it's all kind of spinning out of Hickman's logo, his X thing he did.
But if the brand master just went. We're just going to use the ones we came up with in 1960 or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's no need to have...
Fair enough.
Yeah, but don't you have to, like, reuse something in order to keep the copyright on it?
I don't know about logo. Think
if they iterate enough, if they tweak it just a little, like, if the copyright is still valid.
Okay. The new Deadpool,
yeah. New Deadpool number one, yay. Oh.
Like, what
did he get up to this time?
Well, no, it's funny that, like, they felt the need to spell that out when it's Marvel. They reboot their books for the most part every year anyway, so.
Too often.
Yeah.
With Deadpool, who's writing it, to me, matters. Because if I think the person is funny,
right.
There's, like, maybe one. Okay. Small chance. I'll pick up an issue of it.
We'll see.
2099 is coming back.
Yeah.
Because it's been 80 years since Marvel started, and 80 years from now is 2099. And I kind of enjoyed...
this is all Nick Spencer, though.
It was Christopher Sabella tweeted that. He's like, and in 160 years, they'll still be reusing their ideas. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, but they missed. There's no X-Men 2099.
Oh, they're
coming back.
That's weird. That was the one I really enjoyed.
Well, it doesn't mean that...
I did. I liked that book. I remember reading it all. Spider-Man was okay, and then I thought it was hilarious with Spider-Man 2099 that Peter David quit the book over the identity of the Green Goblin, which was the same reason that Steve Ditko quit. The original Spider-Man. So I thought that was very funny when he quit over that. I'm like, what?
So I haven't read much of the old stuff, but like the newer stuff, like the couple new books have been good. I've been... So have they actually announced what it is, if it's Spider-Man?
I think they just teased the idea of it.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2099 is coming back because it was in... I think it's just Spider-Man. Right?
Oh, really? Okay, could be. I just saw the tease.
Yeah.
I think it's the kind of thing where they might do that one, and then if it's big, they'll do more of them.
Could they? So DC is creating a timeline to keep their continuity straight, which I find amusing because when Rebirth started, they specifically said, we're throwing continuity out, just go tell the best story you can tell. It doesn't matter if Batman couldn't be there because he was here at the same... And I think that's...
Batman was in Justice League, had all his bones broken?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that kind of works. So I just find that amusing that they now want to kind of constrain things by continuity. Especially with the way DC has been, their continuity is kind of goofy to begin with. And then the other thing with DC, I guess You're the Villain is kind of a launching point for a bigger event to come next year.
Yeah, and that makes sense, especially if you've been reading it in Justice League.
And I haven't been reading it in Justice League, but was in Batman, and luckily Batman this week, it was more than just kind of the red sky crossover. There was something to it, which I enjoyed. Some movie news. Marshala Ali is going to be the new Blade. I guess people lost their minds over that.
And?
He's pretty good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I do too.
Boy, just won two Oscars, yeah.
I mean, he's...
And he played Cottonmouth.
Yeah. I have a bigger problem with the fact that he played Cottonmouth, because that was supposed to be in the MCU, than, it's not Wesley Snipes. Because all the stories I heard from Blade 3, you don't want Wesley Snipes back.
He was great in the third season of True Detective.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Marvel announced their Phase 4 slate, or at least what they've announced so far, which is Black Widow, Shang-Chi, which I guess is going to boost your sales tremendously.
Of Shang-Chi from zero? Okay. I mean, trust me, I love Shang-Chi. I just got all the omnibuses. I'm thrilled, and someday hope to read them. But I read a ton of Master Kung Fu.
Zero times zero equals...
But it doesn't really sell. They did a one-shot, and then before that...
Yeah, I thought they did, like, a limited series or something. Like a six-issue.
Maybe. I don't remember. But I it's fantastic.
I'm wondering what they're going to do with that movie, though.
I heard Mandarin.
Yeah,
but like, I'm wondering how they're going to handle, like, is that going to be a true action movie? Is it going to be more on the comedic side? Are you going to have it take place in the 70s?
It definitely wasn't comedic. I think the book was Marvel a British spy movie. Spy book.
What's that?
All Marvel movies are funny. It's right. Just to what degree. But I think this is going to be their kung fu... Kick fighting.
Yeah, I'm picturing.
Hey, forget about Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, style adventure with a lot of different countries and stuff like that. But who knows? But
almost like a James Bond type deal.
Yeah, that's how the book was.
I would love to see it be like one of the old Jackie Chan movies, like Rumble in the Bronx or something like that. Just like really like very like taken from like Chinese cinema, because I think that's why they're picking that character is because. They think he can be really big in the Asian markets, and then
like Swordmaster,
make $3 billion.
Yeah. The Eternals, which that was.
I love people were excited. I'm like, name three Eternals.
Yeah,
Angelina Jolie,
Selma Hayek, and
quite what I was
the guy from
the
guy from
the actors.
and the guy from Game of Thrones.
Oh, the guy from Stuber.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still haven't said names.
Yeah. No, I couldn't name one. So.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, even when you guys decided to like do the actors and actresses, you only got two.
I have Richard Madden. I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah, I knew Icarus, but.
Yeah, Icarus, the girl. I don't remember her name, but I'm like, come up with a third.
So. Yeah. I don't even know what the Eternals are. Honestly.
Marvel's cosmic universe is.
Jack Kirby trying to do New Gods at Marvel, basically.
Yeah. Okay. There's going to be a sequel to Doctor Strange, which they said is going to be a straight-up horror movie, which, okay. And I thought that was where they were going to bring in Blade.
Okay.
That kind of makes sense. And Thor 4, which people lost their goddamn minds because they're bringing in...
Jane Foster is the
Mighty Thor. Okay, here's my problem with this. Well, I have two. One, I don't think Natalie Portman is that great an actress.
I do not forgive her for the prequels.
So. Oh, well, that wasn't her fault. Oh.
No, but I don't. I thought she was terrible in those.
I just think she's the best actor in those. She's been fantastic
in plenty of other movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Only thing I saw her in after was Black Swan, and that was just weird.
Didn't she win an Academy Award for that?
Maybe, but it was
weird. I thought she won it for The Professional.
What's the one
when she was a kid?
What's the? I think she was nominated, but I don't think she won.
Okay.
What's the one where the alien comes down and does all the weird stuff to the?
You just named like 4,000.
with Natalie Portman.
Annihilation.
Annihilation. Annihilation is great.
I just watched that about a month ago, and it was really good.
And that's got Valkyrie in it, too. What's her name?
Tessa Thompson.
Tessa Thompson, yeah.
You're welcome.
Now, my bigger problem was, like, she trashed Thor 1 and 2 after the movies came out.
No, she trashed her role in it. Yeah. That she was essentially just a damsel in distress.
I get it. I get it. Keep your mouth shut. Or, you know, okay, you're not happy.
When does Pat ever keep his mouth shut?
I loved her in Endgame.
Well, if you're a woman, you should keep your mouth shut.
No, if you pay me that kind of money, I keep my mouth shut. You don't trash the movie, but whatever.
Thor. Okay, but do you have a problem then with Thor himself complaining about the first two movies and how he wasn't really interested in coming back to do it until I can't pronounce the director's name.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, like he was going to be doing something like crazy and different, and suddenly he was reinvigorated for the character again.
I don't ever remember. Honestly, I don't ever remember hearing that.
Because he also went out and said like he was very bored with how the movie
was. I was bored. Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard him say that, but yeah. If he did, he did. No, but same thing. Yeah, you don't trash the movie you're in and expect to get invited back for the sequel.
You know, it'd be funny.
I'm actually a little disappointed too that they didn't bring in or they haven't announced they're bringing in Beta Ray Bill. I would have preferred to have seen him as a character, but that is what it is.
No, I think it's neat they're following Jason Aaron's story and doing that. Because she was Thor for, what, 4 years?
I think it was like 2 years.
I thought it started in 2014 and ran in 2018.
Yeah, but she... I don't think so. Can't really remember. But
was it Civil War 2 or Secret Wars where he became not worthy? Because that's when she got...
Original Sin.
Original Sin.
Okay, so whenever... That's when she became...
You remember the one with the guy... The girl with the big head? Yeah.
But the first, I think, like 30 issues is the God Butcher stuff. And she's, like, not even in that. Mm. So that's... That's the first part, and then Original Sin, which Jason Aaron wrote.
So Original Sin came out in April 2014.
And that's when he became unworthy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's probably 3 years, because didn't they end that in like 2017?
I saw 2018.
Or was it this year?
That was The Mighty Thor? Right, is that what it was called?
No,
it was Mighty Thor, but it was also other things, because it was...
Yeah, because it was like Thor, then Thor, it was Thor, God of Thunder, then Thor... Then Mighty Thor.
And Super Thor.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones where I rebought the same issues, not knowing it, because in one collection they did like the first 8, and then the next they did 6, and they were the same, and I had no clue.
Yeah. The Mighty Thor ran, that series with her being featured, ran from 2015 to 2018. So everything started in April 2014, and then that series ran for 3 years afterwards.
But I don't think they can take right from that, because she hasn't had cancer.
That we know of.
We haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah. So.
Well, I thought it was her becoming Thor's what caused it. I didn't read it, so I don't know.
No, she had cancer.
Okay.
And then... You see a Lady Thor, and they try to play it like a mystery. No, I was reading it in trade, so it was never a mystery to me, so that kind of felt a little flat.
Because for a while, people thought it was like Angela.
Yeah.
But I didn't read it, but from what I read from the synopsis of it, when she would turn into Thor, that would essentially like eradicate, or it would...
Keep the cancer
It would
back.
Negate the like chemo
mm-hmm.
and her cancer treatments. So essentially, it was treating that as like what's the word I'm looking for now? Like a foreign object within the body and getting rid of that so that the cancer was still able to thrive.
Okay. Okay. They also announced some series for Disney Plus, most of them we've heard about before. Loki, WandaVision, which is
a stupid name.
Okay.
I kind of like the name because it's like
just it reminds like a video game.
WandaVision
like,
sounds like it's somewhere like
TV I'm expecting
thing, like,
UHF, remake of UHF.
But then when you
think
about it, it's like, oh, it's Wanda and Vision.
Yeah.
So it's just like I don't know. I thought it was clever, but
I don't know about clever.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, which that one, he's not the Falcon anymore. He's Captain America now.
I think that's probably what the series is going to be about.
I don't know, because I don't know that they said when it was set.
I think he mentioned he'll be playing Captain America in the show.
Okay, so maybe they need to...
So maybe the show's like him, like, you know,
learning, you know, stopping the Falcon, and or maybe, you know, making a new Falcon and whatever. And the one actually I am excited for is the What If. It's going to be animated and use voices from the actual actors from the MCU. Jeffrey Wright is supposed to be the Watcher.
Okay.
So that one looks pretty good. DC announced that they were going to do Red Son as an animated movie.
Which is really good.
And there were some Eisner Awards. Mr. Miracle won for Best Limited Series.
And they won for Best Writer
King
and Artist,
and Mitch Gerards won. And then Dustin Nguyen won for Best Painter / Multimedia Artist. And Gideon Falls won for Best New Series.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Woo. Okay, we have some questions, too.
Woo!
So Nick asks, he's got a three-parter. Have you listened to off-panel podcast interview with the creator of Comic Cub? I have.
Yep.
No?
No. Okay. I have fallen off the wagon with off-panel. I got behind. I tried today to listen to one with Steve Lieber. And I like Steve Lieber.
He's got a funny voice.
I don't like hearing interviews with him.
He sounds like a Muppet.
It's not his voice. It's just he's...
Well, he does.
Yeah. What I'm listening to on the way home.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one I normally, like, I see who's on it, and then choose.
Yeah, I agree.
That.
Yeah. There's a bunch I haven't listened to. But I did listen to that, being a Comic Hub user. And an off-panel Patreon.
Do you have any thoughts on it? Like,
not really. I mean, because I think I was user 4, so I've been using it for a while, and I was one of the ones that really helped develop it.
Talked about it. He was just talking about what it could be used for.
It is. They were just getting into the publisher side of it, which was something he really wanted to push. Sadly, I don't really use the consumer side, so I don't know exactly what you guys are seeing and things like that. So I don't know if it's helpful or not, but they've just, I think the first campaign they did was for Vampirella. There's another one coming from about Once in Future from Boom.
Okay. So I don't know if it's because
it's targeted, right. Like Vampirella, it was really broad, but it was targeted at like anybody who's ever bought a Frank Cho, you know, anybody who did a cover, it's targeted, which I like that it's not just a blast to everybody. It's at least targeted marketing. And that's what he's pitching them on, too. It's like, hey, you know, we can target this. Like, the next one's for Once in Future, so it's Kieran Gillen. And I think I looked, and I had, like, 288 people it's going to be going to.
Yeah.
So
the thing that he mentioned, what's his name?
Stu.
The thing that he mentioned that I thought was a cool idea was, I'd call it, like, segmenting. And so one of the things that he does in his store is he looks at the people who came in for a free comic book day and then don't come back the rest of the year.
Right.
And he kind of tailors like a coupon or like a special
offer. Yeah, he said a lot of stuff, and I'm sitting here going, okay, how do you do that,
though? Yeah.
Because on the back end, I don't know how you can do some of the stuff he was talking
about. Yeah, but I think it'd be useful if you hey, volume 2 of whatever, you know, trade just came out. Here's a coupon for it or something like that. You could probably get some people who don't come into the shop regularly. And that was...
It was funny listening to him. I'm like, okay, how do you do these things? But let's see. Favorite Brian K. Vaughan series? I'm going to have to defer.
Why The Last Man?
I haven't finished
neither of
any of his series.
Yeah.
They're all good. I would say I like Paper Girls the best, I'm not current on it. But my favorite BKV issue of all time is Midnighter number 7 from like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Because if you're familiar with Midnighter's power, he can like see slightly ahead, so he's like awesome in fights. So the whole...
Just to kick people's
the whole,
heads off.
Yeah. The whole issue is done through like going back like...
Oh, I remember that.
Seconds.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it's a very cool issue.
I was always a big fan of DMZ.
That was Brian Wood.
Then probably Why.
Don't shake your head, Josh.
I'd have to say Why The Last Man, too, even though it just edges out Runaways. I love the original Runaways.
I never read any of that. I heard it was good.
It's really good, yeah. I like Saga also, but
Wide Left Stand is just fantastic.
I like.
I like Stand on Guard. That had well, it
started out good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best, but I haven't read a whole lot of his stuff anyway. But it was like the first issue, the second page or whatever was super brutal.
Yeah.
I liked Ex
Don't look
Machina,
at me like that.
But I just, that was one where I like read them from the library.
It wasn't. Ex Machina was real good too.
Again, I'm limited into what I've read of his, so.
Okay. And then lastly, thoughts on Hickman's tweet thread about the new X-Men series.
I haven't seen
The only one I really remember was he was talking about that they kind of hosed us and be, you know, patient with us because we had trouble ordering it because we basically had to order most of the issues before it even shipped, so we were kind of guessing.
He didn't kind of put the fault on himself.
Right, right. And I appreciate that, especially because, like, it looks like I'm going to blow through it, and I ordered four times what I was selling of Uncanny. But it's also, it's a $6 book, so it's hard to go, oh, I'll just order unlimited copies, because if it doesn't take off, you're stuck with a lot
especially
of
them. Especially they don't give you a, returns or anything.
No, Marvel will never do that.
Yeah, but he said it was his fault, and I was like, how is it at all your fault? You wrote the thing.
Right, but it's I think making it weekly is where it really put the hurt on
his
us.
Fault, but he was,
responsibility. Yeah, I think that.
I felt like he was just trying to say, don't go yell at your comic book store.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it's at the same time, he can't say that it's Marvel's fault.
Right.
He's always saying it's his.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of when I read that tweet stream ago was, if he had not explained the cover treatment with the inverse color X's, I would have never picked up on that.
Okay.
So,
because he also asked about that, what do I think about that? I'm like, I don't think it'll really help, because it shouldn't be that hard to read. Well, House 1, Powers 1, House 2, Powers 2. You know,
as long as they put it out on fairly, time.
It helps if you read his tweet.
Right.
And only if you read
his tweet. But, like, they color-coded, like, the first one's red and white, and the second one's white and red. It's like, but it still doesn't tell you which one to read first. You know, if you're just grabbing them, you wouldn't necessarily know from the colors to read Powers 2 after House 2. You know, so I'm like, okay, it's just... I don't see it that being super helpful.
But I have the problem with, like, all the X books every week.
Yeah.
And most, actually, all Marvel books. Because even when there's an event going, I go, wait, do I have to read Thor before or after?
Right, Yeah, those things. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's always it.
No, I hear you. But I think 1, 2, 3 is fairly, you know, that's, I think most people can handle those. Lord Retail asks, your group was very hesitant, to put it lightly, about the new Superman stories. Where does everyone stand now that we've seen several issues of both? I'll take the answer off the air. I think Superman in Action have been good. They've dropped in sales from where they were, but I haven't heard any complaints about them. I'm behind on both.
I've been enjoying them. I mean, I miss Tomasi Superman.
Yeah.
That, like, kind of slice of life stories he was doing. These are different, but they're still good. I'm still enjoying them. And they both have their own, you know, niche. I was worried with Bendis writing both that it would just be, you know, a lot of the same. But really, they've been staying in their own lanes and not really crossing streams at all. So, I'm good.
I haven't read any, either one.
I dropped them.
Yeah, I'm not reading.
I was not a fan of Rogel Czar.
No, neither was I.
Supergirl did a lot more to advance that storyline and made it feel more impactful, I guess. Less just gimmicky.
Okay. Christian asks, do you have any annoying speculator customers? I listened to the Challengers podcast.
Clearly,
the last,
this person's not a listener of the podcast.
Yeah. The last couple weeks, and they're rightfully struggling with speculators because of Walking Dead and Captain Marvel. Do you have similar issues? Walking Dead caught me by surprise, only in the sense that I did up my order on it, and I thought I had plenty, and then it went very, very quickly. Captain Marvel, I developed a plan because I knew it was going to be big, and I was trying to figure out how to deal with it. And I think it's similar to what Challengers did. But basically, I looked up who bought the prior issue and set aside a copy for each of them to make sure that the people that have been buying it can aren't going to miss out on it just because it's getting bought by people buying them to sell and not actually read. Because that also then affects sales of number 9.
So how does that work, though? Because typically you see declining sales as the series goes on. So did you have enough notice to go, okay, sold 9, I got to make sure I buy 9 of those, too?
Oh, well, I mean, I order based on how the prior issue sold. But okay. I was able to look up and see, okay, these people bought it. They don't necessarily have it on a poll, but I know who they are, and I set a copy aside for them. So that was my solution.
What happened to Captain Marvel?
Introduce a new character who may or may not be something, but it's selling for $30 because of that. It's like, man, I would buy something much cooler for $30. Also, have you ever thought of charging more for obvious hot issues or tracking customer sales to see who's actually buying to own or read and who's buying to flip it on eBay? I know who's flipping them on eBay. It's not really complicated. So, no, I don't like the idea of charging more, but I do also, you know, think setting them aside for the people that I know are going to read them is a better way to go about it. Because I don't like the idea of selling them for more. I remember shortly after I opened in September, and I think that March was when Civil War ended. And then the following issue was when Cap was killed, and I was hearing stories of a local store selling that they pulled all the copies off the shelf and put them behind the counter for a greatly increased price. And I'm like, that's not cool. But like Challengers said in their thing, it's like we're also look like the biggest dopes in the world that we're selling $4 books that the guy's going to go sit in his car, take a picture, and put it on eBay for $30. So, but if we sell it for $30 in the store, we're jerks, and it's like it's a really weird thing. You know?
Well, like you said, if you had enough to for your subscribers, because you don't want to make them...
The problem is you never know to order more because they don't become hot until Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like I had a ton of extra.
Well, and the other problem is if you're standing behind me in line and I buy The Walking Dead, which I've bought for years, I get charged $3.99. He knows you're a flipper and he says, for you it's $25. Now he has a problem.
Yeah. So it's... We're working on it. The my favorite thing is that the flippers don't think we know what's going on, and they come in looking for the hot books, and it's like, oh, really? You want that? You know, it's just they're not subtle, and it's just kind of funny. I forget there was a book that came out. I think it was before the Captain Marvel.
Wolverine?
Oh, it was the Marvel Comics Presents first appearance of Wolverine's daughter that clearly is not going to be real. They wouldn't put that in Marvel Comics Presents. But, you know, and they're coming in looking for it, and it's like, I sell 2 off the shelf. You know, I didn't have any to start with, you know. So it's just, and also, this is going to be a shock, but we have retailer message boards, and as soon as somebody knows something, and also members on the retailer boards are on the Key Collector app and the other website. So they know what, hey, look for this book. And then all of a sudden they go, hey guys, watch out. This is the hot book of the week. You know, we're not going into this blind. You know, we know what we're doing. So
I think you handled it perfectly though. That's
okay. I'm just trying to play fair because I'd rather sell it to the guys that have been shopping here for 8 years and are helping pay my light bill. Yeah. As opposed to the guy that's coming in spending $8 to make 60, you know.
Well, and like you said, if you sell out of 8, you know you're not going to sell 9.
Right. So, it's just, you know, it's a changing, you know, landscape. It's a, you know, it's got to die soon. No offense, but I'm sitting here going, like, yeah, Captain Marvel being a $30 book, and I'm just like, who's buying it? That's all I want to know.
It's not so much who's buying it, it's... Do people honestly think this will hold it?
No, that's what I mean. Why would you spend $30 on that? That's my question.
I mean, I've got a Spawn number 1 and a Death of the Superman if someone really wants one.
Oh, I was talking about that with somebody where I'm like, and even these bigger ratio variants that are, you know, selling for, you know, $1,000 because it's a 1 in 1,000 or whatever, you know, like Black Cat had. I'm like, if I have $1,000 on a comic book, I'm going to buy a copy of X-Men number 1.
Yeah.
Spider-Man number 5. You know, yeah, I'm not going to... Yeah, I'm not Black Cat number 1 that, you know, in 9 months won't exist anymore. You know, it's just crazy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the variant market's super weird because, like, when they reprint it, they do another cover.
Yeah.
But, and there's actually less of those.
Right. And so for a while, well, that happened with Naomi. That's
not more valuable because there's less.
But like, sometimes they are. Sense. And now Marvel playing into it by doing 1 in 25 variants on second prints. And it's like nobody under-ordered by 25 copies. So to get somebody to order 25, to get that 1 in 25, because so that 20, that one sells for more. It's like you're just, it's a game that's just not healthy. So, blah. That's what I got. But those are all the questions. So, anybody else with anything from recent?
Did you send you anything?
No. Or at least if they did, I forgot. Hang on. Got an eBay message.
Makes great podcast.
No, I my eBay blew up after San Diego when they announced the Jane Foster thing because I had gone in with some other retailers on a variant of Thor 8 from years ago when they first revealed who Thor was, that right. It was actually Jane Foster. So we had a special variant of which I had like 80 copies sitting in a box in the back, just kind of forgotten about, you know, what am I going to do with these? Well, they announced that's the next movie. All of a sudden, I'm selling them like crazy. So just... I was having trouble with one guy because I couldn't combine the auctions and I had to refund shipping and just all sorts of fun stuff.
Nerd.
Yeah. That's all. So, but he just sent a message. So, who read something they want to talk about?
I'll talk about Batman.
I read Batman.
Yes. I actually like this issue.
It's good.
I like it a lot more than I've liked the ones before.
I will say, I wasn't hearing you guys talk about it. I did enjoy. I enjoyed the last issue too, the previous one.
Okay,
where he fought his dad in the pit and everything.
Yeah, I just didn't like that arc though.
What I really liked was it tying back to that Russian children's.
Yeah, that's I liked that a lot. And then I liked the alternate Gotham where Hugo Strange was the commissioner and the Riddler and the Joker were cops. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was all his universe before he came over here?
No, I assume that is Gotham City now.
Yeah.
Because Bruce is caught in Russia or wherever he was. Because he wasn't in the desert. He was...
Someplace
was.
Yeah,
cold. So I assumed it was...
That was my only... I wasn't sure, like, you know, and then how he was able to get, like, the Joker to be a detective and all that stuff.
That was one thing I was like, the Joker I don't think would have played along with this. But.
Well, it couldn't have been his universe because
his wife was the Joker
in his universe. So.
Yeah.
Maybe his universe has three Jokers, too.
That's true, yeah.
There was one really funny thing in it. There's a scene in the police station when, I forget who it was, Penguin, whatever.
Bullock in the background?
No, on the nameplates.
Yeah.
They scratched him out, and it was Peralta and... Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, okay.
And then in a Marvel comic that week or a week before, they had made a Brooklyn Nine-Nine reference, and they were very excited that they exist now in the Marvel and DC universe. I thought that was pretty funny. Just a little thing, but it amused me. Nine-Nine. Sorry.
And so at the end, was Catwoman there, or is that a hallucination?
I think she was there.
I
think she was there? Okay.
Because this is leading into that, you know, Catwoman book, so.
Okay. And then it had its epilogue with the offer. And this time it was more than just he shows up for 2 seconds. I kind of like that a little bit better.
I like that better. I'm not mad at the, like, just 2 second little offer thing in these books, though, because DC was very explicit about saying you don't have to buy all these books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Like, you don't have to just collect them all.
And it's not like those are altering the story, it seems like, too much either, so.
No, it's more that you put the banner that it's a tie-in, and really it's him showing up on one panel. It's like, okay, it's not really a tie-in, but whatever. Because I'm not buying any additional books I would have already bought, but when I see that on there, I expect a little bit more than just that. And the other book that I read was The Punisher Annual.
Is that the Space Punisher?
Yeah, so...
As good as
the one I didn't automatically pull for you because I didn't think it made sense.
Yeah, but it was the only other book I read, so I was like, I'll read it. No, it was a J. Jonah Jameson story. So apparently his son had helped this guy who was a stand-in for Elon Musk do a special spacecraft, and they were giving tours, and since it was his son, he got to go on the tour. Well, he snuck away and stowed aboard the spaceship. It launched kind of like space camp, and it was him and the Punisher and these...
Just one time in space camp?
Yeah. but what was supposed to happen were the Russians were supposed to steal the spaceship, but the Punisher obviously took care of them. And then while they're out in space, they get attacked by these aliens... wanted, like, giant space bug aliens.
It sounds like I made a good choice not pulling this for all the Punisher subscribers.
Yeah, it really wasn't a Punisher story.
Were there different artists or writer and stuff on it, or was it at least the same writer?
No, it wasn't Rosenberg.
Oh.
It wasn't the most horrible thing I've ever read.
But, like, second?
No, Space Punisher was goddamn awful.
I read the first issue of that and went, what the...
Yeah. That was super awful.
What'd you do, Spencer? Police car? Fire truck?
Whatever it is, it didn't.
Where's the helicopters?
Okay. No ghetto birds. So.
Okay. Never heard that phrase before. Okay.
Well, I can enlighten you.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't the worst thing I've ever read, but it was the worst thing I read last week. All right.
Okay. I'll go next. I read They Called Me Enemy, which is actually an OGN. It's from George Takei, and of course it's three other people. I can't remember their names. I know two of them are like editors at Top Cow or whatever, Top Shelf.
Top Shelf. Yeah.
so it's basically. It's mostly a memoir for George Takei. Yeah. Like 5% of it is like his kind of career after he was in the internment camps and kind of like how that kind of went from it. But maybe 5% was like the Japanese history and like American history around that event.
Okay.
But for the most part, the core of the story is like his family's experience in the internment camps during World War II, the Japanese internment camps. And it was really good. I was expecting it to be like more of a tearjerker, and it wasn't really that, but it was very good. And learned a little bit more about those camps. Like I didn't realize that there were so many.
Okay.
Because there's 120,000 people were in those camps. And he actually spent time in three different camps. So when they first collected them up, and he lived in Los Angeles, they put them into horse stalls, like at a racetrack, and they lived there for a few months, then they put them on a train to, I think it was Arkansas or Missouri, something, some state, and they live there in, like, basically, you know, a makeshift town.
I thought it was Arizona.
He definitely didn't go to Arizona. There probably were those in Arizona, but he was not in Arizona. And then... they gave them a survey, and two of the questions on the survey were...
Do you hate America?
Oh. Well, that's very close to what it is. Will you serve in the war? Because a lot of the Japanese people were, you know, military fighting age. And the other one was a question that they... the way it was worded was very much... It was like... it was either like, do you pledge complete and total allegiance to America... Or do you pledge complete and total allegiance to the emperor, right? And it was the kind of thing where it was like, well,
You can't.
We're not actually huge fans of America right now because you've put us in a prison. We haven't done anything.
But if I answer this way, you're going to treat me even worse.
Yeah. But we also don't, we also don't support the emperor. Like, there's a middle place there.
Right.
So people who answered no to both of those questions were considered no-nos. And they were, the no-nos were taken and put to another another camp. And then in that camp, they were given basically the opportunity to, like, leave the camp if they renounced their citizenship. And his father wasn't a citizen, but his mother was. And she renounced her citizenship. And then there was a legal fight because they basically said, hey, these people are just trying to get out of prison. So, like, very interesting story. I highly recommend that.
Okay.
And I don't think I spoiled it too much. But it is a really good book. The art is great. It's black and white, but you can tell the family members apart very easily. And then, some Star Trek people show up, Gene Roddenberry and Nichelle Nichols.
In the camp?
Not in the camp. Okay. But, like, they are in there, and they look the way they're supposed to. Some of the historical figures, the ones I recognize, there's some, like, senators and stuff like that I didn't recognize.
Right.
But they look the way they're supposed to, so that was really good. Next thing I wrote or read was Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
I read that.
Yes.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. I love that book. That was really good.
It was great.
It starts out, like, super crazy, which is what I expect from a Jimmy Olsen book, because I've never read them before, but I've seen, like, the Kirby covers and stuff like that of him as, like, a giant dinosaur and things like that. So when he starts
he turns into a turtle. Yeah.
And I think the way they handled Superman in this was really good. He kind of, like, he's played for laughs. He saves him. And then later, when he's Clark Kent in the...
he gives the big wink.
He gives the big wink. And it's the kind of thing where... it's like a modern play on sort of the modern, like, journalist... I don't know. What do you call it? Writer's room? Right? Where they're talking about...
Newsroom.
Yeah. So he's...
But...
He's about to get fired because he's a screw-up and his insurance is so... It's going to cost so much to insure him.
As someone who worked in the newsroom...
I find it really funny.
His videos are keeping the Daily Planet afloat financially, but also his insurance premiums are so huge, they want him to make the videos somewhere else.
Yeah. So
when I worked for a newspaper... They told us nothing we could do can make money. We can't do anything that will actually make money, you know. So that was great.
Yeah, yeah. That book was awesome, and the art's good. Definitely on board.
Just don't listen to his interview.
Yeah,
just not the most exciting interview. That's all.
I also read Sarah and the Royal Stars.
Okay, good. I didn't read it, but I meant to.
I read it. The art's really good. While I was reading it, it made me think of Monstrous.
Okay.
Because it's a female protagonist, but unlike Monstrous, which we just read for book club, that's kind of why it was fresh in my mind. But in the criticism a lot of people had at book club of Monstrous was, like, you kind of start in the middle, and, like, you kind of need, like, an epilogue or some kind of, like, info dump in some way. This was a lot better at organically filling you in on the backstory.
Okay.
Because when you first meet the characters, they're basically like at the end of a battle. And then the main character, she, like, passes out and has a vision from a god. And then, like, so they kind of, like, scoop her up and take her home off the battlefield. So she has, like, fainted on the battlefield. And then... Through her talking to her father, you find out that she's done this before, that her mother also had visions, that the god Mitra that she's talking to gave her mother a task, and her mother basically failed on that. She died during that process, or trying to free the stars or something like that, which is where it kind of all starts from. So it just does it in a really good way of kind of, like, getting you caught up, but also, like, you know, getting her off on her her adventure. So I really like that. It's really good. It's a Vault comic.
Yep.
The last thing I'll talk about is the Orville number one.
I read that.
Yeah. So,
Josh? No.
No. So I guess, Comic-Con news, the Orville is getting a season 3, but it's going to be on Hulu.
Right.
The other thing that happened this weekend, or at least that I got, I don't have Hulu, but I think I will get it to get the Orville, but the two characters who just, you're not characters, but the two actors on that show that got married.
Yep.
They're getting divorced now.
In real life?
In real life.
Wow. That was quick.
What's her... Yeah, it was like 2 months.
Yeah.
The red-haired captain guy. What's his
name? Scott Grimes.
Scott Grimes and...
Yeah,
Adrian Pilecki. Yeah. Adrian Pilecki, thank you.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, that was quick.
So he pulled that? Good on him, man.
So,
he's a big Mockingbird fan.
Yeah. She's like his third wife, though, so I don't know if he's like...
Yeah, he
absolutely, so, good absolutely. On him. But yeah, that was a surprise.
What probably happened is she got married, and then the entire internet went, "Wait, what?" but anyway, the comic book.
That's like the old Norm Macdonald joke on Weekend Update when he said that when Julia Roberts married La Lovett, and she finally realized she married La Lovett.
I remember that. Yeah, but anyway, this the book felt like
it's absolutely
show,
felt
which is
like
really
it
all
actually.
It needed to do.
Yep.
In fact, like
every character, you could hear them because it was right.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if this was like an actual script that like
didn't
was written
made.
And didn't get made because it, towards the end of this. There are some like bird people,
So that
which might be like
effects.
Too much of a special
effect
for the show. But I really thought that that book was good.
Yeah. But yeah, just I mean, nothing special. They went on a little mission. They were doing something, and they had like another 48 hours for something to be happening. And then they got a distress call, so the captain and his buddy went off. And
very, very Star Trek did that all the time.
Yeah.
It's like we're running this thing, and it's going to take 48 hours. So.
Yeah.
We're stuck
Let's go
here.
Investigate.
Stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah, but yeah, if you like the show, I think you'll definitely like that.
And it explains like how she started. She met the teacher that she's dating. In
Right,
season
that
two.
She was dating.
Yeah, yeah.
So because this took place between one and two.
Yeah, and they reference stuff in the.
So. Yep. Yep. No, I thought it was very good, and now I know how a lot of the names are spelled.
Oh,
like what is whatever the. The two big guys, like Mocklins or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, but it was just funny seeing the Mocklin spelled out. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Not, I didn't really ever think about it, but no, it was very well done.
Those are the only books that I wanted to mention.
I'll go next.
Wow.
Collapser number one. This was a new one from.
I read that.
Young Animal. But it's by Mikey Wood, who's the brother, or Mikey Way, who's the brother of Gerard Way. And interesting, he basically, this guy is a DJ and just kind of bumbling around.
Well, he's a nurse, too.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. With not enjoying his job as the guy is,
that's
starts
part
off.
Of the reason why I didn't really like this book.
Okay.
Because he does some things as a nurse that I found the art to be. And it's not realistic art; it's cartoon.
No, yeah,
but it was a little. I'm a little cringy, but
yeah, it was a little, you know, bedpan and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Somebody sends him basically. It's a black hole. They didn't really get a whole lot into that, but he's got a package delivered by a guy, and you can tell it's not a normal guy. He's got lizard
like
legs
eyes,
and stuff. Yeah, but he's just struggling being a DJ. Did the black hole even really come about? But people are looking for it because it was taken off someone else who died.
Yeah. So so at the very first thing you see is this dead person,
right?
Which I later assumed was his mother.
Okay.
So you see this dead body to begin with in kind of space, and then they cut to him in his apartment. He wakes up and he has a sword, but he's got like a cosplay sword for some reason.
Yeah.
And he gets the package. And later, when he comes back, he never opens the package.
Right.
When he comes back, the assumption that I made was that the black hole was in the box.
Yeah.
And then he gets sucked into the black hole, and
okay.
later you learn that it's, like, in his chest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm not sure where all it's going, but I it was good. It felt very Vertigo-esque.
Yeah.
Like an old school Vertigo book.
I'm probably not going to pick up number two.
Okay.
There's a lot of music references.
Yeah.
And I recognize, like, one of them. Yeah. Like, they mentioned, like, the Chemical Brothers or something like that. So, but most of them were over my head.
I agree. Next, Vampirella. Anybody read Vampirella? Big launch. Christopher Priest.
Not unless Betty and Veronica.
No? Okay, fair enough. It wasn't bad. A lot of it is something happened. She was on an airplane, and there's this ancient undead or immortal guy who attacks her and is speaking in German. This is all told through her laying on a psychiatrist's couch talking to him. And he doesn't believe that she's actually, you know, an alien. And he's got a weird accent, too, that I couldn't quite place. But, like, instead of a werewolf, it was a werewolf and stuff like that. You know, just little things like that. But basically the plane crashes and a bunch of people die. And somehow this immortal guy gets beheaded, but he then picks up his head. There's this little girl that doesn't say anything. She's very Children of the Corn weird. It was very, very odd. I have no idea what to make of this. I have hopes for Christopher Priest. The art was fine, but the story was really kind of out there.
Have you read Vampirella's?
No.
Yeah.
I've never read Vampirella before.
Yeah.
Daredevil number 8.
I read that too.
Continuing the story, this was interesting, where he's been visiting this, like, bookstore. And I don't know that he ever had, like, romantic things towards the thing, but he goes there and says something, and she's like, "Oh, you're a retail creep. I enjoyed this." And she's like, you mistake attraction, or you mistake outstanding customer service for attraction. And he's like, "Oh, geez, you know, I didn't mean to." But, you know, and then he starts talking about, "Boy, that really smells good." And she invites him up for dinner because he could smell the cooking, and they live up above the bookstore. The one thing I didn't like is the family's last name is Libris, and they own a bookstore. It's like, oh, it's a little too on the nose there, Chip. But when he goes up to have dinner, he all of a sudden realizes sitting there that basically this lady is married into a crime family. Then he knows all about the history of this crime family. There's another story going on where Wilson Fisk is out with the governor hunting or shooting ducks. And he's talking about...
they're not hunting, he's qualifying random ducks to
yeah.
shoot them.
But he's making a thing where he wants to... The governor is surreptitiously trying to buy all this land to start his own like shell corporations because they're going to pass marijuana legalization laws, and he's trying to corner that market. And Fisk already owns everything, and he's like, "I'll go in 50-50 with you. We got to do this before the federal thing, yada, yada, yada." And then while Murdoch's there, he basically, you know, says, "Yes, I know exactly who you are." And they lay out the whole history of these families. Somebody's shooting from across the street. He gets them down. You know, look out before the shots start. And they're all kind of, wait, that was
this
weird.
Gets him down?
No, this is different. This is now Daredevil back at dinner with this crime family. And basically they know who he is and he knows who they are. And then somebody shoots through the window, shoots the cousin. Sorry, Josh. Shoots the cousin. Daredevil, to get the grandmother down, throws something at the chair leg and breaks the chair leg, and she falls and breaks her hip. And then later, when they're out on the street, the detective who had kind of been really gunning for him comes up and talks to him, not realizing that he's Daredevil. So it's just kind of continuing on the story. I thought it was good.
Have you been liking his...
I like it a lot.
Because I know you're a big Daredevil
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, no, I think Chip is doing a really good job. Other than that name, I just found the name of a bookstore owner being Book a little...
I thought Matt would have had maybe a bigger reaction to finding out the girl's married.
Yeah, and just kind of walked away.
And,
yeah.
I mean, there wouldn't be a story if he did that, but I thought, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just struck me as kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it was good.
And then the last one I read was Justice League, continuing on Martian Manhunter is looking for Luther, along with Hawkgirl, and they were really... Oh, and then, so they're still doing that, and he's looking for Luther, because Luther, at the end of the previous issue, had made the offer, tying in with Year of the Villain. The rest of the Justice League is on Quard looking for the Anti-Monitor. And they say a big sign that he killed all the weaponers and in blood left a sign saying, don't follow me. Something happens with the little hybrid kid and Starman, and bad things happening to everybody. And then it ends with Luther kind of assimilating the Martian Manhunter and creating a new, assimilates him into his new body that he was just kind of cloned into. And so now you're assuming he has all his powers and stuff. And so that's how it ended. But Justice League has been really good. I missed all the Eighth Dimension stuff or whatever that was. I came in just at the end of that. And I've been really enjoying it. This seems really Justice League-y. You know, this big, a big story that it should be, as opposed to when I look at Avengers and they're doing a Ghost Rider story. You know, it's like, no, right. Avengers needs to be bigger.
In a hot tub.
Yeah, it needs to be bigger than
they
that.
They just got done saving the 10 realms.
Right.
What do you want from them? They got to relax a little.
There you go, fair enough. Okay, that's all I read, Josh.
The only other one for me is Gideon Falls.
Yeah, I read that.
The story's really good. Like, this just feels like it's a slow, like, burn up to something big. Like, Father Fred is like, hanging out with the homeless, like, just drinking some.
Yeah, because we're finally back to, like, to what our, like, time is.
Yeah, but he's in, like, the city now, and not
the countryside, kind of, like, small town.
Yeah. So he looks like he's about to, he's about to come unhinged when he ends up running into Dr. Zhu.
Is that her name?
XU, so I'm assuming Zhu. And she is becoming more and more like Norton.
Yeah, she's buying in more.
Yeah, like to the point where she was, like, looked like him too. Like,
yeah, because she started wearing the mask.
And the mask, and she was starting to go through trash to find, like, these relics and found the Father Fred's, collar.
Collar.
Father Fred realizes that the bishop may be more involved than he thought. And we're seeing, like, this flashback to this woman who was hanging that Father Fred knew. So I'm wondering if that was part of his whole, like, fall originally. Yeah. Where he then got reassigned to Gideon Falls, but it's good. The art's just so freaking good in this book. The story's great. It's really good.
Even though half the time you can't really tell what's going on, that it's still good.
Agreed. That's it for me.
Okay. We'll talk about two of last week's Archie books together. Jughead's Time Police.
Jughead.
Number two.
Does he do a split at any point?
A split?
And hook up with me and Sarah.
And Time Cop, Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's in the kitchen. And he
does a split on the counters.
Right, okay. I gotcha. I remember that.
It's funny how you said in Time Cop and then Jean-Claude Van Damme does a split. He does that in all his movies. That's his
but
move.
This time it was on the counters.
One foot
on each counter.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Completely different than kickboxing when he does it on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Or was that Bloodsport?
No, that was kickboxing.
Kickboxing is dance floor.
Bloodsport, he does it on the mat.
Not the mat. Where he hits the guy in the... Yeah.
Which, in any other ring, would be a totally illegal move, but in Bloodsport, everything goes, so...
I feel like it's a Bloodsport, right?
No rules for Kumite. Yeah. Except for don't fight outside the ring.
Time Police number two. Number two, and Jughead the Hunger versus Vamp Veronica, number three, because both of these issues, they have these surprise last pages, and they seem to be building like an Archie multiverse now, which is
an Archieverse,
and have these characters cross into each other. Because I'm just going to give those away, spoilers. If anybody is reading that, skip ahead a minute. But in Time Police, Jughead's in the 29th century with January McAndrews, and they deal with these time thieves. who's just trying to get this device at the, from them that the Tyrant Police are using. And in Vampironica, Jughead, the Hunger, they, Vampironica, she's like starting to figure out she's not in her same universe. And she finally meets Jughead, Werewolf Jughead, in this issue. And Betty the Vampire Slayer. But on the last page of Time Police, Jughead, the classic Jughead from Archie Comics, shows up. And he seems to be up to no good. And even better, on the last page, at the end of Jughead the Hunger, the characters are standing around in the street, and there's a voice coming from a puddle trying to talk to them. And they go over, and it's Sabrina. But it's the Sabrina from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And she tells them they have to save multiple worlds. So I don't know what exactly is going on, but it's really interesting.
Is there Archie Predator right now? Is that tied in?
That started today.
That came out today.
I don't think it's tied in.
Yeah, I don't think so, but you will find out. And I'll mention the last issue of Black Badge, number 12, came out. Almost a series.
Did they graduate?
Pretty much, they did. This is kind of like, this issue is kind of like an epilogue of the entire series. Because the previous issue pretty much resolved the Black Badges against the Honor Society and Scouts Without Borders and the whole hierarchy of the badges. So in this issue, they're turning over new leaves. We're not working for, the badges anymore, but they're doing humanitarian work in Venezuela and teaching fishing and forestry and stopping some blockades from food and medicine getting to the people. So it'll be good for the trade to have that stuck at the end. But it's pretty much a happy ending, which I think is earned after, because the Black Badges, they know something is wrong in their organization, and through all these trials and tribulations, they try to figure it out, and they come out on the other end. So, but almost that series is really good. And that's all I got. Spencer.
Nightwing, number 62. So this one, we're slowly starting to see, like, Rick Grayson, he might as well just be Nightwing, because now he's running around, he got his, like a leather, like, biker outfit, so he kind of has, like, a costume, and he's still doing, like, the paint grease across his eyes, so nobody knows who he is, I mean, because,
because paint, that fixes everything. Yeah.
That big scar on the side of his head.
Well, and that's another thing too. Like I don't know if this is just like the artist thing, or if they're like the writers tell him to do that. But like, there for a while, like the side of his the military cover, like the side of his head was like real short, and he had it on the top. Well, it looks like that's filling in. So I don't know if they're just kind of slowly gonna cover that up, or if that, like I said, it might just be like an artist thing. But so it's kind of pretty much almost like a. Kind of like a day in the life. Like, it opens up with him chasing down this guy on a motorcycle who is stole this organ like out of an ambulance that's supposed to go to this hospital for a transplant. So he is able to stop him, and then when he gets done with that, another one of the Nightwings shows up, who was the police chief, or the fire chief, or worked in the fire department. He gives it to him because, he's thinking that he would be better, take it to the hospital and give it to the person. So they do that, and then he meets, Rick meets up with the girl that he's been seeing, who's been running the bar that he's been, dating for the last couple issues. And he finally tells her, who he is, about the amnesia and getting shot in the head, and even, how he used to be Robin and all this stuff. So I'm just thinking, this lady's going to end up in a fridge sometime soon in the next couple issues, because she just found everything out. There's no way they're going to leave her, you're probably going to kill her, and that's going to, like, bring back his memory somehow or something. But so, and then through, so they kind of just go on a date, but through, like, while all this is going on, you're getting these little shots of, like, this drone thing following him throughout the taking down the guy stay on the organ and hanging out with the girlfriend and all that stuff. And then, it goes back up to this roof, and there was a talent there. So he's been spying on him, you know, I guess, getting information. And then, at that, once, like, at the very end, one of Luther's drones come in to make the offer that's been going on in all the, villain books. But it's getting better. Like, the writing, at least the writing's not as bad. And the art's been pretty good. So, Nightwing's been getting better. It's just not where it needs to be. Uncanny X-Men 22.
I read that.
How did it end?
Very, very vaguely. Well, I mean, because, like, they do this whole thing, like, the last issue ends with, like, them, like, Emma Frost was able to do a thing where everybody on the planet didn't even know what mutants were and stuff like that, and by the end of this issue, that's all taken, you know, they wipe all that away.
Because someone destroys her Cerebro helmet. Like hits, right?
Well, no, no.
That, like, hits the reset button.
No, it hits the... I think what hits the reset button is, like, whenever they're, like, in front of the camera and Cyclops is like, hey, we're, like, the X-Men, you know? That's what I thought did it, but maybe the helmet had something to do, too.
I thought they destroyed the helmet.
Well, maybe they did.
And then people who have been, like, there's, like, a crowd of people who've been, like, completely ignoring them.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Like, hey, there's the X-Men.
I think that they destroyed the helmet, yeah, and then...
That's a problem I've had a lot with this book, where it's like, I don't fully get what's going on all the time.
And like, well, like, even, like, you're talking about, like, retconning, in this issue, so there's these Sentinels that are, like, infused with the Warlock, like, alien tech guy, and, like, they can't do anything to stop them, so, like, Havoc, like, explodes himself to take out, like, one or two of them, but we see him on the cover of, you know, the first, the X-Men 1, so, like, all these, because throughout this whole series, everybody's making a big deal about, like, all these characters that he's been killing, but they're all back anyways with this Hickman stuff.
It's worse than that, because Havoc explodes himself, that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
So Havoc's dead, and then Warlock, like, I don't know, integrates with them.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, communicates with them, tells them not to attack mutants, and then, what's his name? Captain Evil or whatever, who's got his own Cerebro hat on.
Yeah, the military guy.
Yeah, the military dude, who I don't recognize. He just goes, you know, Alpha, Zeta, Beta, whatever. And then
command code.
Just completely, like, overrides the command code that Warlord, like, or Warlock just, like, hacked.
And at the most terrible moment where you, all hope is lost and you think they're all gonna die, bam! All the other X-Men from the Age of Apocalypse, or what was that, Age of Apocalypse?
Yeah, Age of Apocalypse.
Come back and able to, you know, save everybody and stuff. And that's when they have, like, the destroy the helmet. Or before that, Jean Grey comes, like, walking through the flames of a burnt Sentinel and just come up and just kiss the sky right in front of Emma and all that stuff.
And Emma's, it's a good, like, one-pager.
Yeah.
Because it's those two, like, making out. And
Emma's in the corner. Which, was you kind of confused, like, with, like, they kept on messing up with Emma's hair? Like, was that, yeah, like, did you notice that, too?
I don't know if it was, like, flopping down. So Emma has had, like, a bomb in her brain. And they took it out.
So she has
a scar alongside her head, and, like, it's shaved there. But that is not consistent through. There's some times where it's, like, beautiful Emma with the hair covering it, and there's other times where it's floppy.
Yeah, so it's hard to tell, like, if it's, like, if it's cut and she just covered, like...
Yeah.
It's kind of like your eyes thing. It wasn't very consistent.
Yeah.
But
I just wanted to point in the same direction.
Yeah.
I don't care where, just in the same direction.
And, like, I've been seeing, like, a lot of people talking about this series online, and, like, yeah, I've liked the series to a certain point. I just feel like it was almost kind of pointless because it seemed like they had this Hickman thing kind of planned. I don't know, but...
What's his name? Matthew...
Rosenberg.
Rosenberg was on Twitter, and he's like, yeah, it's almost like we had it planned from the beginning. And I'm reading it, and like, you didn't have this plan from the beginning.
No.
You had one story, and then they told you...
And then you had to wrap up...
8 months ago, what you're... to change your last six issues, and then you planned your six issues, but, like...
Because it had such good promise. Like, it was really good there.
It was
a good
series until this last arc, which made no sense, was super inconsistent, and...
Yeah. And then the last one is Spider-Man Last Story number 5. So this series opens up with the, what's his name? The guy that, who they fought in the Spider-Verse, the vampire kind of guys.
Okay.
Killing the Ben Reilly Spider-Man who took Peter's spot in the last issue, so he could go and live with Mary Jane. And
so what decade are we in right now?
The 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's like 60-ish, 70. Like, they're all getting pretty old.
I thought Ben Reilly was from, like, the 80s.
Well, he was in the 90s.
Okay, the
90s. And so, like, that was kind of that was last issue's focus, was the Ben Reilly stuff.
Yeah, I never read that stuff. But I know the...
Like, I haven't read all the Clone Saga stuff like that. I just got, like, the gist outlines of all that. But then once he kills Ben, he realizes, like, oh, it's just the clone. So, he disappears, and, this is all over the news because they find the body and they think it's Peter Parker, so that's all over the news. So he's having a, in this story, Peter and Mary Jane have twins. They have a boy and a girl. And the girl, which I think is what is the Spider-Girl that they've used in other storylines. I don't know her name.
Is it Mayday?
Is arguing with him about, like, how he needs to, you know, do something. He has this, you know, given the whole power of responsibility and stuff like that, and they showed, like, how at times he has helped, like, during 9/11, they showed him, like, he just had, like, you know, his normal clothes, but he had the mask on, like, trying to help and save people. So after, you know, the argument, it kind of convinces him, he heads back to New York to try to, he wants to lure him, Morlun back out, he causes, like, a scene between Captain America, because, like, they're kind of almost in their own kind of civil war right now. Like, they don't say what caused it. It's just, like, you know, it's Cap and his side going against, like, the non-registered people, and then, you know, Captain America and the people that are, like, working with the government, and everybody who's, like, on Cap or on Iron Man side, they all have, like, this Iron Man tech. But everybody's still really old. It's like it's old people fighting. But so he, because his plan is to draw him out during this conflict so he can get everybody's help to fight him. But it turns out, since he, as he came to New York, Merlin went to San Francisco, and, like, so in his, like, delayed tracking of him, I guess, he goes to their house where they're defenseless because it's just Mary Jane and the kids, but, like, the kids have Spider-Man's, like, strength and stuff like that, so they try fighting him, he sucks a little bit of, like, energy out of the girl, and she goes to, like, hit him, and she was able to, like, scratch him, but so they find out that the only time he's vulnerable is whenever he's, like, trying to drain the life energy out of him. So the son goes to fight him, and to, like, lure him to try to, like, steal his energy so the Gore can attack him, and she doesn't get there in time, and it basically kills him, but she's able to hit him hard enough with, like a tree trunk or something, because, like, they've got thrown around and stuff, so there's, like, debris everywhere, and hits him and, like, knocks him out, and he falls, and he's still in a weak enough state that when he falls, like, a piece of wood goes through him and, like, kind of, like, stakes him, kind of. Which I guess makes sense with him being kind of like a vampire-y kind of creature. So they're able to stop him, but, you know, it looks like the sun's dead. They don't really say, but he's laying there all, like, withered and stuff. So I'd say that he's dead. And Peter, back in New York, Peter is able to defuse the fight because he sets off an EMP that, like, shuts down all of Iron Man's guys because they all are suited up. But somehow, because then they have, like, a little talk, and then, like, Peter goes to poke Iron Man, but he's not there. It's just a hologram, so I don't know how that hologram's there whenever he set off an EMP that took out all the other electricity. But other than that, so he decides to go with Cap, and they go, they teleport out because they have a cloak and dagger, so they're able to use cloak's cape to transport out of there. And I think that's how the issue ends. I think the issue ends with the fight with Merlin and stuff like that. But I've still been really enjoying this series. I'm interested to see, like, how it ends. If maybe, like, next issue is where they bring in, like, Miles Morales or something like that is what I'm kind of thinking. But I've been, like, if somebody's just looking for a good, like, Spider-Man miniseries after this comes out, like, in trade and stuff, I would really recommend it. It's a nice, solid, standalone read. You don't really have to read too much anything. As long as you got, like, a passing knowledge of Spider-Man, you'd be fine. And that was it.
Okay.
Well, Colin, what's coming out next week?
Stuff.
And things.
Okay. So, one I highlighted because I ordered for myself, but you're welcome to it if you'd like it. The Authority Omnibus. I really love The Authority, and they put it all in one big book. Avengers 22 kicks off the Ghost Rider story where Johnny Blaze is the Lord of Hell, and he has plans for Robbie Reyes, who's no longer wants to be, and then Danny Ketch is involved too, leading to the new Danny Ketch series.
Does anybody want to be Ghost Rider?
Not really. We also have Batman Last Night on Earth number 2, so hopefully this will develop the story a little bit more. Batman Secret Files number 2, which is going to be focusing on the City of Bane stuff. And Batman Who Laughs number 7, wrapping up that series. Daredevil by Chip Zdarsky, volume 1, is coming out. So if you're a Daredevil fan and haven't been getting this, I recommend this. It's been really good. Death's Head number 1, I know everybody's excited about that one. Green Lantern Annual number 1, it's a fifth Wednesday, so we're getting some annuals and things. Justice League Dark Annual. Killers number 1, this is one from Valiant. Knights Temporal number 1, this is from Aftershock, where there's a knight pursuing an evil wizard and goes into the forest following him, and then they end up in present day. So I'm trying to, both of them trying to deal with that. Manor Black number 1, this is from Cullen Bunn. It's like a horror story, but also like a family conflict type book. Powers of X number 1, just kicking off that one. New previews is next week. Pump Mambo number 4. Red Hood and the Outlaws annual number 3. We have Red Sonja, Lord of Fools one shot. I believe this is a Mark Russell one.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I have more copies of second.
Mark Russell? Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No. I have more copies of Second Coming number 1, First Prince coming. I was very excited to see those on my invoice this morning because I thought they were gone. Secret Warps, I think the last one is Iron Hammer, annual number 1. Sonic the Hedgehog, Tangle and Whisper. These are some new characters that they're introducing. They were in the Free Comic Day book, but if you're a Sonic fan, you're going to want this. Spawn 299, we're getting real close to 300. Star Wars Age of Resistance special. It's got the purple-haired lady who sacrificed herself, BB-8, and... Oh, I forget who the other story is. There's three different stories in it.
I'm trying to remember her name.
Hold that.
Laura Dern.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Laura Dern. We have... this is In Venom Annual number 1. Noteworthy. Uncanny X-Men 21. The ones I got apparently were filled partially with Agents of Atlas number 4. So please check your copies. I have replacements coming, and hopefully these are not messed up replacements. You'd really hope that they would have checked those first. Do I need
to bring back?
Yeah, bring back the other one, because they're going to want these back, the damaged, the wrong ones back. So,
well, keep a hold of them. It might be worth some money. It
possibly that's always an option for you. But so I do have replacements of those coming in next week. Those
middle like 15 pages or so.
Oh, it's going to be
It's going to be the best 15 series.
Pages you've ever made.
Not if I remember. Not if I remember correctly. It does not.
Yeah. Okay. So the previews order is due Thursday. So if there's anything you want, get your orders in either by letting me know or doing it via the hub. But don't do it too late, because I really don't check all night long. Book club is Friday. We're doing Alan Moore's Saga of the Swamp Thing, Volume 1. Vertigo Month is, we got one more week for Vertigo Month. Double points on all Vertigo books. So I think that's about it that we got going on here. Let's see. Dave!
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.